For the next three weekends, the Signal Mountain Playhouse is mounting a production of Rodgers and Hammerstein's The King and I. The two leads in the musical are both opera-trained singers, which is increasingly common in musical theater. That's what they tell us in this interview with WUTC's Richard Wenham. Seth Carrico plays the king, and Jennifer Arbogast is Anna, the English teacher whose relationship with the King of Siam and his children is the core of the story.
Seth Carrico grew up on Signal Mountain, but these days he spends most of the year in Berlin. He has a contract with the German opera company Deutsche Oper Berlin. He overcame enormous odds to win a place with the German opera company. He auditioned in New York with 600 other applicants. Of those 600 applicants, only three were offered a place. He thinks, and you might be surprised to hear this, that because he was an American, he had an advantage over other European applicants.
American singers are very popular there, especially because we are taught in a much more well-rounded way. You know, the Italians tend to focus on Italian repertoire. The French tend to focus. I mean, we learn everything in our schools here. We're trained to do all the different languages, all the different diction, all the different styles of music. And so we may be criticized for being a little too perfect, a little too robotic, but it's useful in a repertory theater when you're doing all these different languages and doing 150 performances a season. You need people that can be quick, and you don't have to teach them how to pronounce all the words. You know, I try not to say that I'm lucky too much, because I read this great quote from Peter Dinklage recently talking about, you know, when you say that you're lucky, you are doing a disservice to all the hard work that you've done.
Yeah.
But I mean, you have to be honest, I'm very lucky to be where I am. I know a lot of people working very hard, and it's a lot of luck.
Yeah. You're lucky that you realized a goal for yourself.
Yep.
You're not lucky in that the reason that you realized that goal is because you worked really hard.
Yep.
And got really good at what you do, and people heard that, obviously.
Absolutely, and gave up a lot of things that most people aren't willing to give up.
Yeah, exactly.
Stability, you know.
Yeah.
I just now have my own apartment for the first time in 5 years.
Jennifer Arbogast plays Anna in The King and I. She has a Doctor of Arts degree from Ball State University. She moved to Chattanooga to teach music at Chattanooga State. But while she loves teaching, she says, she also takes every opportunity to perform.
The gal playing Tuptim, the young lover in King and I, is actually one of my students at Chattanooga State. So that's been really rewarding. She and I actually, this is our sixth show together in the last year.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, we do a lot of theater together and we really enjoy working together. And she is making remarkable progress and she's trying to head down the road more like what Seth has done. So, and I love...
Well, I guess they have their sights set on New York, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that she'll go to New York right away. She's sort of doing what I did. I studied opera for my degree work, but I also coordinated with my teacher to study privately with a belting coach, a musical theater voice teacher. And so I studied both opera and musical theater simultaneously through my graduate school experience. That's kind of what she's doing as well. She hasn't picked which way she's going to go yet, so she's doing both, and we'll see from there. She's got to finish school first. It's the most important. Get the degree and then get going. Figure it out. Take it a day at a time.
This girl is truly a wonderful talent. It must be really great for you to hear her every night and know that
it is great.
You have a hand in that, you know?
It's great.
It's very cool.
Seth alluded earlier to the parallels between opera and musical theater. Do you find one easier, harder than the other?
Oh, that's an interesting question. And it depends on the opera and it depends on the musical for me.
Mm-hmm.
My voice is more well-suited for classical musical theater than it, like Rodgers and Hammerstein and things like that, than opera or contemporary musical theater, although I do attempt to do all of them. I think everybody excels at something. Everybody has their own niche, you know. But for me, it's very role-specific. Do the songs fit well in your range? Do the words roll off your tongue easily, those sorts of things? Are there really bad vowels on horrible notes that you have to sing? And there's a lot of different factors that make different roles easier or more difficult than others. And I wouldn't call it opera versus musical theater so much as, is this role a good fit for me?
And are they good writers?
Yeah.
for performers? Because some people don't write for performers, do they? They just write, mm-hmm. and you just have to rise to it.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Seth? You have a preference? I mean, you spend most of your time performing the opera, right?
I do. I actually do love both. And when I go too long without doing a musical, I start to get anxious about it. It really is a wonderful experience for me. It's completely different.
Is it in some sense more relaxed?
Well, it is in a way because the rehearsals, because in musicals, you tend to be able to rehearse with your script and let the piece evolve in a little bit of a slower pace, mm-hmm. you know, and where I work in Berlin, everything is immediate. You know, we'll put a show up with 2 days of rehearsal and you've never seen the set, you've never seen the costumes, you haven't met the conductor, you've never heard the orchestra. You come in, you do two rehearsals, and then you go on the next night. And it's a regular occurrence. So everything has to be so polished and so set when you arrive that there's not much flexibility with how it's done. Mm-hmm. Whereas in a musical, you can try things a little differently and experiment and have it a little bit more of an ebb and flow.
I think opera is very focused on the music and the singing and the beauty of the voice and the sound. And so the text and the movement and those sorts of things sort of become subservient to the music. Whereas in musical theater, it's kind of, you have singing, dancing, acting. There's quite a bit more dialogue. Some operas have no dialogue. Some do have a little bit. And so you're balancing all of these different things. So they're difficult in different ways because in opera, the music has to be so polished because that's why you go to an opera. And then in musical theater, you have to multitask like a crazy person. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why I really like doing contemporary opera because it is, the opera world is changing quite a lot. It is becoming much more visual based. Not visual, because it's always been about big grand sets and beautiful costumes and then they just stand there and sing. But now it's becoming much more natural and people are casting people to look like the parts and there are more physical demands on changing the way you look in order to fit into a character. And it's more intent on the text and the acting than it used to be, and especially in contemporary opera. And for me, that's a way to find a balance between the two things that I love, the opera and the musical theater. Contemporary opera generally tends to be somewhere in the middle, and I like to do as much of that as possible.
That's interesting. You know, we were talking earlier, and I said, you know, it strikes me that, especially Rodgers and Hammerstein, it's almost like pop opera.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, it's kind of a hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
And given opera's struggles in this country anyway in the last 20 years, it makes sense that it would start to move in some way toward musical theater because that's what people are used to and the audiences will accept it.
Perhaps. A lot of the smart companies, especially regional companies in America, are adding a musical into their season every year. Mm. And they hire opera singers to do it, unless it's something that specifically requires belting or something like that. But usually they tend to do the classic, you know, Sweeney Todd or Carousel or Oklahoma, any of these kinds of shows, or The King and I. And it is a great way to increase your opera audience. I hope they don't go only musical theater because I love singing opera, but it is nice to know that now when I go into auditions, I always offer a musical theater piece on my audition list because I know these companies are thinking about it.
Well, and on the flip side of that, I was recently in New York and saw several Broadway shows while I was there. And I was so pleased to hear so much, they call it legit musical theater when you sing musical theater with more operatic tone. And a lot of the musicals, in fact, Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, which won the Tony this year, is very operatic. It's absolutely incredible. The singing that's in this musical, but it's also very musical theater at the same time. So I think while opera is sort of melding towards musical theater, there's a lot of elements of musical theater that meld towards opera as well because the art forms are so linked that they can really draw from one another and make both genres can become more successful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see that too. You know, these big musicals from the first half of the 20th century were America's response to European opera, really, weren't they? So it makes sense that at some point, and apparently it's already happening, they're kind of coming closer together,
sure.
The two forms, and they will feed each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good because that speaks to the survival of both, I think,
mm-hmm.
that they don't just end up being museum pieces.
Yep.
Nobody wants that.
No.
And when you're on the stage up in the Signal Mountain Playhouse, it must be fun. The audience is right there in front of you. It's a different way of performing, I would think, than what you perhaps do other parts of the year for both of you.
Yeah, it's very different. It's fun for me. I grew up in the Signal Mountain Playhouse. My first show was The King and I when I was 9 years old. And
so you come full circle.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. And it's everything reminds me of something. You know, every time I go there, yesterday I took this walk behind the tennis courts and everything, and all of a sudden I remembered being 13 years old again and riding my bike through there, and it just kind of blew my mind. But I think it's an incredibly pleasant experience for me to be able to come back and share what I've learned out in the rest of the world here, and hope that, you know, I think about the people that inspired me so much when I was growing up in that theater. Gentleman Rob Inman, who's in the show with us, he, when I was younger, I looked up to him so much, and I just wanted to be him. And so now the idea that if there's a kid in that chorus that could possibly think, I might like to do this, I want to be like him, if that inspires him, then it was worth it, you know, completely.
Speaking of Rob Inman, the world should know how fabulous Rob Inman is.
He's a saint.
He is, he's the mail carrier on Signal Mountain, and he is just wonderful. He came in because Seth was still under contract with Berlin Opera when we first started the rehearsals. And then he had another contract with a company in New York.
Opera Saratoga,
mm-hmm. before coming here. So Seth actually just arrived in Chattanooga on Monday afternoon. So we just met in person for the first time on Monday.
On stage.
And now we're doing a show together. And Rob has been standing in. And he'll actually be playing the role of the Kralahome in the show. But he's been rehearsing as the king and the Kralahome. And I could not have possibly prepared this show without him.
Mm-hmm. Neither could I. I mean, his notes, his every time I come off stage, he's telling me, okay, well, next time maybe you should do this. And I'm so grateful. It would be impossible had he not done it.
I was terrified. Well, I spoke with Seth on the phone last week, and that was the first time we'd ever spoken. And we were like, okay, this is good. We get along really well. This is going to work. But I was so terrified because I loved working with Rob so much. I was like, what if I don't like working with this guy? But it turned out well. So.
Well, the chemistry is really important, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
For these two characters especially.
Yeah.
Because it is a very delicate relationship. You know, you have to find a way to make it. You can't go too far in any direction. It's always shifting, especially because the king is so, I don't know what the word is, impetuous maybe, that he's constantly changing. And so...
He's literally raw material for Anna, really, isn't he?
Sure.
I mean, she's just got to shape this guy, right?
Absolutely.
Well, one of my favorite scenes in the show is when the king is trying to figure out how he's going to go about doing something, and he's thinking about it, and he can't, and he's like, you guess what I'm going to do. And so there's this sort of play where she doesn't want to come right out and say, you need to do it this way, because he won't listen to that. So she has to guess what he might do, and he says, yes, you got it right, that's what I'm gonna do.
But why didn't you think of it?
Yeah.
The Signal Mountain Playhouse production of The King and I starts this evening and tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock. There'll be two more performances next Friday and Saturday, the 18th and 19th of July, as well as on Thursday, Friday and Saturday, July 24th, 25th and 26th. All performances start at 8 o'clock. Details are on their website. Just Google Signal Mountain Playhouse. For WUTC's Around and About, I'm Richard Winham.